Apologize that you don't have Pastor Trevor up here speaking today, but he's riding roller coasters as we speak. Should be riding roller coasters by now. They would have had church service this morning pretty early because I'm the one that scheduled when they were having church. Picked the 8:30 one. Didn't even think about how cold it would be at 8:30 in the morning, especially down in the holler at Silver Dollar City. So, yes, be in prayer for them. Definitely be in prayer for me. So let's start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day, Lord. And I ask that all the words spoken here this morning are your words, Lord, not mine. I pray, Lord, that whatever is said here is beneficial to the kingdom, and that we take these words and we take your word out into the world to further your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think that, one, who's all happy to be here today? I mean, it is a great day to be in the house to worship today, okay? My wife has already told me multiple times that I have to slow down when I'm talking and reading, because I guess the last time I spoke up here, I was really, really fast, and I'll do my best, okay? For those of you who don't know, I'm Jeff Gibson Jr. I'm elder here at the church. Been the youth minister for 20-something years, which is a long time. So if I start talking to you like your kids, it's because that's what I've dedicated my life to, is youth ministry. And I can see times in my life when I've been really strong and when I've been really weak. Can I get an amen on that? Can you feel the same in your life, whether you're really strong and you're really weak? Feel the same way. Feel the same way. Felt some strength here lately, though, especially because of the sermon that I get to give today. And it's after Easter. It's after Resurrection Sunday, all right? It's after the most awesome time for a Christian, a Christ follower ever. The resurrection Son of God, Jesus, who I follow, and I'm not perfect. I said bad words yesterday, okay? You get it? Not perfect. I might have said one this morning, so I'm sure something didn't go right, okay? Not perfect. That's why it's weird to say that I have the power of God living in me. How crazy is that? So the songs that were sung today, I mean, one, I asked, we have some of the greatest musicians up here. So I was like, hey, can we do a song about the Holy Spirit? Because I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit today. Was that fast enough, Tiffany? Talking? All right. But I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And they're like, yeah, got one. Boom. Then they're up there doing it. Kinley's singing. Wow. Okay. Fantastic. But the Holy Spirit, the unforgotten God. Book by Francis Chan. I read it. It's really good. Okay. If you get a chance, it's a good read. The triune God. Okay. So we're talking about God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit right after resurrection. Not really right after, because Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. The Bible says for 40 days. You turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and 2 a little bit here. Jesus was on the earth for 40 days, appeared to hundreds of people. Okay? Hundreds. Lots of people. Okay? Basically, showing the resurrection. He showed people the holes in his hands. He told Thomas to put his hand in his side. The people that witnessed this, I mean, I've had it often told to me, the people that witnessed this, I mean, you wouldn't do the things that you did after this if you hadn't witnessed something like this, okay? These people, after they witnessed Jesus during this 40-day period, those that went on to start the church, to start this. Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you people. Those of you that also have the power of God inside of you, those people were beaten and killed, and they never changed their tune. They proclaimed Jesus till the end. So that to say that they didn't see this, I mean, it would be pretty tough. I don't know too many men that would die for a lie. So the Holy Spirit, sometimes hard to understand. I just want to read. I want to read, you know, Acts chapter 1. If you guys look into it, talks about Jesus being taken up into heaven. So we have 40 days where he's on the earth, all right? And then in Acts chapter 1, we get to the end, and he is taken up into heaven. Like, we're talking a miraculous sight, okay? But before he left, he told them he was going to send something greater than him. A power that none of us can imagine. The Comforter. It's so awesome that I get to talk about it to you guys today. Okay? The Comforter. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read a lot of Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. Now, I looked up some stuff about Pentecost because I try to research things so I know more about it. The day of Pentecost. Now, we know it as the day that the Holy Spirit came down, all right, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. But the day of Pentecost was a thing that something happened. It was a Jewish feast, all right? It was celebrated in the Old Testament. It was called the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks in Jewish tradition. It was mentioned in the first, or in five books of the Old Testament, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's something that happened over and over again, and it was of the harvest, okay? It was all about the harvest time. So they were gathering together to celebrate this. And as I'm going to read, there was like 120 of them together. So I'm going to start in verse 1, and bear with me. These words are little. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this wasn't gibberish, everybody. Okay? I'm going to stop right there for a second. This wasn't like some weird gibberish. Okay? When they spoke, whatever language you spoke in, you heard it in that language. Okay? Whatever. So if every one of us spoke a different language in here and you were around that happened, you would have heard it in your own language. So it was an amazing event. Going on with verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly they were amazed in that, and they asked, are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of them hears in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea. I'm not going to read all these. There's lots of big words right here, okay? All the way through Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Going on down, so there's lots of people there. When we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, amazed and perplexed, They asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Man, I don't know. I don't know if too much wine would let you speak in other languages or not. Okay? So obviously we have some people that believe and some people that don't believe. Carrying on. This is really, really amazing. Okay? Because Peter is empowered here and does something really, really cool. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood. Therefore, the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, or before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to me. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did among you through him. And you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. David said this about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made it known to me the paths of life and will fill me with the joy in your presence.' Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing that what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out now what you now hear and see. For David did not ascend into heaven, yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hands until I make your enemies a footstool under your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the name of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off and all whom the Lord, the God, our God, will call.'" With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I'm going to stop right there. It was a lot. A whole lot. I can't help but think, one, I get to be in that city, to hear all of this happen, All right? Peter stands up, gives this message, and says, you killed the Son of God. I can't help but think about the stuff that I've done in my life that kills the Son of God. The sin. The sin that even though, I believe this stuff, even though I believe this, I still do it. It's a constant battle. It never stops. There's not a day that doesn't go by on this earth that we're not going to be fighting the sin battle. The good thing is I don't have to do it alone. That's where that Holy Spirit power comes in. Some takeaways from this long message that Peter gave. Yes, he called them all out and said, you killed Jesus, okay? But God knew it was going to happen, and it was God's plan from the beginning, and it had to happen. Everybody in here should say an amen to that. All this had to happen so that we could get where we're at today. The fact that 3,000 people were baptized. Wow. What a message. They were cut to the heart. Have you ever been cut to the heart? When something was said to you where there was a change, where you were cut to the heart. When did you realize that God was the only way? When did you realize that everything you had done, that you couldn't get past it on your own? That's being cut to the heart. When did you realize it? How did Peter give this message? He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I can't even explain the power that's in the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about it. I mean, I can go. This is probably what needs to happen. Right? You guys have a Bible? Everybody got a Bible? Everybody, lots of people got a Bible. Some people got it on their phone. Look at that Bible. What's it about? What's the whole thing about? Huh? God? Anybody? Huh? How to live? I always call it the roadmap about God, how to live. Start to finish. Promises? What was that? Daily advice? Roadmap? God's plan for our redemption. His name is what? What was his plan for our redemption? What's his name? Jesus. From start to finish, that book's about Jesus. God's plan for redemption, our roadmap for life. God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That book, the first thing that happens, we have Adam and Eve in the garden. Well, we have creation. We have all of creation. This whole earth was created. The heavens were created. The cosmos was created. Everything was created for God's pleasure, for God's purpose. Amazing, right? Was the Holy Spirit there then? Absolutely. Was Jesus there then? Absolutely. John 1:1. I'm going to get it really close. You ready? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. He is Jesus, all right? In the beginning, at the start of all of this, when God made man and then took from man and made woman, he did this for his purpose, his creation, and yes, Satan did not like it, and he threw a wrench into things, okay? But you don't think God didn't know all this was going to happen? Okay? So sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and it's been here since then. But God had a plan the whole time. Jesus was part of that plan. If you look throughout every Old Testament story, every one of them, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Father God is there. Why? For you and me, to save us. Throughout, from the beginning, he wants to spend eternity with you. And it doesn't cost you anything. Okay? From start to finish, it doesn't matter. My favorite story, all right? We could go through any of the stories. We go Daniel in the lion's den. We sing songs about he shut the mouths of the lions. Who's he? All right? All right? We talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the fiery furnace, but they did not get burnt up. Nothing happened to them. Who was in there with them, protecting them? It was him from the beginning. Every story. And then when we get to the New Testament, we get to meet him. He leaves heaven, perfection, beauty, and comes to earth for us. His name is Jesus, right? He came to earth for you and me. How amazing is that? And he lived a life for you and me, right? It wasn't easy by any means. At the end of his life, he was beaten, and he was beaten beyond recognition, okay? Hung on a cross and died for you and me. And for 3 days, he buried our sins away. And he defeated the grave on the third day, Resurrection Sunday, and came back for us out of the grave so that we could come out of our grave one day. I'm telling you, I'm coming out of my grave. Okay? So he comes out of the grave, and then for 40 days he shows everybody that he's out of the grave, and all these people that see it, I mean, this is the start of the church, okay? And then we get to the day of Pentecost, flaming tongues of fire, 120 people, this great sermon by Peter. The Holy Spirit is now on the earth, and it lives in you and me. So I want to tell you that when you hear a story of closing the mouths of lions or overcoming a fiery furnace or defeating a giant called Goliath, that same God lives inside of me. And any one of you who has accepted him as your Savior, followed him in baptism, that power, I pray all the time, and I'll tell you my prayer, and I don't think it's like bad to say, to tell your prayer, but guess what? I pray. There's many times people have prayed, Lord, don't take your Spirit away from me, all right? But I pray, thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside of me even when I don't deserve it. Because there's none of us that deserve it, and he chooses to be here anyway. How amazing is the Holy Spirit? It's amazing. And I'm only giving you a little bitty glimpse of it, okay? A little glimpse. Yes, the Bible describes the flaming tongues and the whirlwind of wind, like bigger than any tornado we can think of type deal, okay? Yes, God has that power. We know that. We also, God is described as a gentle whisper, which is also powerful. You have that spirit within you if you choose to accept it. For those of you that haven't chose to accept it, I pray that you do so while there's still time. For those of you that have, you have that power. The Bible also says that the faith of a mustard seed, which I've told kids multiple times, you know, you take your fingers, kind of squeeze them together when you barely see light through there. I mean, the size of a mustard seed is really, really small. Everybody get that? If you have that much faith, the Bible says you can move mountains. All right? You want to know why you can move mountains? Because of the unquenchable, unstoppable fire that lives inside of you. In the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I know it's hard to understand, but for those of you that accepted him, those of you that follow him in baptism, he's there. He's the gentle whisper. He's the guiding path. He is the one that gives you more knowledge. When we talk about Peter, how did Peter get up and speak this to everybody? The Holy Spirit empowered him to stand up and say it. And the people were cut to the heart. I pray that one day, each and every one of you says something to somebody that cuts them to the heart and brings them to Jesus, even if it's just one person. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Nothing more, nothing less. We're here to glorify God. And he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. How amazing is that? And then the spirit of him lives inside of you if you accept this. Does it cost you anything? Did I say you have to sell 5 goats and three pigs? Nope. Okay? Nothing. All you have to do is accept it. Accept that it's true. How amazing is that? Now, as I wrap up today, something that happened in my men's group, we talked about God's time. Okay? God's time. Everything that happened in the Bible was on God's time. You have to realize this. And yes, to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And we live like in a speck of sand compared to eternity. Everybody understands that, right? To God, there really is no time, right? From the time that Jesus left this earth is like 2 hours. I don't know. I mean, or it could be less to God, okay? So we're on God's time here. Jesus appeared for 40 days to many, many people. Jesus ascended into heaven in the blink of an eye. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came to 120 people 10 days later. All this is in God's time. I don't know what you have going on in your lives, okay? But know that you are on God's time, okay? I think it's very important to realize that the power that is inside of you, if you've accepted him, is unstoppable if you'll just tap into it. It's a struggle for us to tap into it and believe it. And sometimes we feel like we try to tap into it, but we're not getting the results that we want to get because we forget that it's God's time. That happens to me a lot. I will pray and I will do things that I think's God's path. And, you know, maybe it was, and maybe it is, but we have to remember it's God's time. I know I kind of jumped off there, but anytime you have that kind of stuff that happened and we think about God and we think about God's time, I had to throw it in there because you might think, well, Jesus is in my heart. I've seen him do these things, but I know he wants me to do this really great thing, but nothing's happened good with it yet. Remember, it's God's time. Maybe you have in your heart to build a church camp somewhere one day, but nothing's ever fell in place. It's God's time. Maybe you've been speaking with one of your friends or your family members about accepting Christ, but seed hasn't grown yet. You're just planted it. But guess whose time it is? It's God's time. So, as you leave here today, we'll go ahead and have the musicians come up. As you guys leave here today, I want you to think about this when we talk about the Holy Spirit and how much power is inside of you. One, it's God's time. It's God's will. All right? For those of you that haven't accepted Christ, you hear the prayer a lot, and I pray the same for you. I pray that you do so while there's still time. Okay? I pray that you feel the power of the Holy Spirit while there's still time. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you're dead. Okay? If you don't have the Spirit, you're dead. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is power. The Spirit is all-consuming. The Spirit is just amazing. And for those of you that have followed Jesus in baptism, that have accepted him, you know the Spirit, and you feel it, and it makes you smile. It guides you. Even when bad things happen, it's with you. He is with you. God is with you. So, believe it, sweet by and by today, right? In the sweet by and by. We're going to sing in the sweet by and by. And as we're singing that, I want you to think about your life. If you haven't accepted Christ, I want you to think about what we're doing here today. Okay? If you have accepted him, pray for those in this room and outside of this room who have not, because he is the path. He is the only way to salvation. Let us pray.